Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. If you watch the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington, you are very familiar with our next guest, a friend of the program, who the last time we had him on told us a story about meeting Ashton Kutcher and debating whether or not one of the two of them should change their names. He goes by Kutch, but it's actually said Kutcher, Justin Kutcher is on the line. You've got to start how you always start, where I always ask you the same question. You have a nickname that confuses me with your last name. You are now a star in Washington, D.C., and we need to set the record straight once and for all. Kutcher or Kutcher, and why do you and Ashton Kutcher have a fight over how it's supposed to be said?
Well, it's great to speak to you, too. Put it this way. The easiest way to remember it is do the exact opposite of how you would say Ashton Kutcher's name. So it'd be Kutcher.
But it's spelled the same way.
It's spelled the same exact way, but I say Kutcher, he says Kutcher.
And who's wrong?
Oh, he is, no doubt. As a matter of fact, when I met his brother, Michael, at a charity event several years ago, my buddy said, Michael Kutcher, meet Justin Kutcher, Justin Kutcher, Michael Kutcher. And he goes, wait, how do you spell your last name? I go, same way you spell your last name. And he goes, you're saying it wrong. I said, no, you're saying it wrong. And he said, where is it from? Like, where is your family from? And I said, Poland. I said, where is your family from? And he said, the former Czechoslovakia, but we changed our name. And I said, whoa. It's not even your name, and you're still messing me up? I was like, oh, no. So the rest of the event, every time we'd see each other, he'd be like, what up, Kutch? And I'd yell, what up, Kutch? And it still goes on to this day.
And that began the blood feud. That's how the Hatfields and McCoys started, I'm sure, over pronunciation.
This is it. It's like a Romeo and Juliet thing. Right. This is the Montagues and the Capulets.
We don't talk to them Kutchers down the road.
The war wages on. Justin Kutcher with the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington is with us. And you've seen him on ESPN and on Fox Sports nationally, a network-level broadcaster is now our own here in D.C. A lot of things I want to get to on the NBA front with you, but you now know what we're doing, which is on Monday we had the great Joe Beninati on, and he did a load of laundry. Yesterday, Dave Jagler, who calls Nats games, joined the show, and he made a sandwich. We're worried about you guys because we don't want you to lose your fastball. We don't want you to lose your touch. As much as anything else, this is a service we're trying to do for our favorite broadcasters who we're missing. We want to keep you sharp. So what household activity today are you willing to call play-by-play of for us just to keep you and your A-game afloat until the Wizards return?
Well, after much deliberation, I have come up with making my bed. And I appreciate you guys reaching out and trying to keep my skills sharp because my heart's racing right now. It's been so long since I've done play-by-play that I'm kind of nervous.
Yeah, you're a little nervous.
I get it. There's big games and there's big moments, and this is one of those. So here's what we'll tell you. We're sitting this thing out until you if and when you need to tee us up as your color commentators, we'll be here for you. We're not going to leave you high and dry. But otherwise, I know you're very nervous, but it is time to work on those skills. Justin Kutcher calling play-by-play of himself making his bed.
And by the way, just before we start, I am going to refer to myself in the third person.
Very appropriate.
So kind of like a a Jimmy slash George Costanza, it might make it for a better play-by-play.
Well, so what's funny is, it's so funny you said that, because yesterday Jags did that. And I literally got a text from my mom. She didn't know what was going on, and she tuned in, and she said, she texted me, does Dave Jagler speak in the third person? And I literally responded, I'm like, no, Mom, he's doing something. Like,
when
he
he's
has
on
to
Grant
do it for
and Danny, he does.
But she's like, does Dave Jagler speak in the third person? So anyway, it's funny.
Cutch is getting upset. Cutch is getting upset.
Right, exactly. All right, so here we go.
Here we go. All right, let's do it. Justin Kutcher, this is not a well-known fact about him. Up until about 3 years ago, he never made his bed. As a matter of fact, his family always called it pulling a Justy. He would sleep on top of the mattress and the bedspread, and he would have a separate blanket that he would sleep on because he never quite understood what's the point of making a bed if you're going to sleep in it the next day. So as he takes the sheets and the comforter off, he's getting ready to put the first sheet on top. Now, the fitted sheet is already there, and he always wondered, how do you fold a fitted sheet? He still has never figured out how to fold a fitted sheet. Fortunately, it is already on the bed. Now, this is the first part of a three-step process, and we will be keeping track of where he is on the leaderboard, because the leader came in at 2 minutes and 33 seconds for making the bet. Kutcher is hoping to beat that, although he is not all that confident. He has put the bed sheet on. He's trying to fold the top of it to make sure it's perfect, because also, in case you didn't know, Kutcher's kind of OCD. The sheet is on. As he goes to the bedspread, he checks the clock, and he is 0.2 of a second back of the leader. He has confidence that he could put this comforter on in time to make up the time before he puts the final blanket on. As he has the mattress on, again, he has to go over around the bed, hold it, looking, and now the time is on. He's got the one blanket on top. He has to fold it perfectly. This is slowing down. He just fumbled the corner. No, he could not have fumbled the corner. Now he snaps it. It's over the bed. He has to make sure the comforter comes back. It's still not smooth. As we look at the clock, he comes in 0.1 of a second shy. Kutcher loses again. Gosh, so close.
Boys and girls.
And scene.
Justin Kutcher making his bed on Grant and Danny. Now, I want to go back to the beginning. You didn't make your bed until 3 years ago. I don't know if this is going to be something that changes the opinion of the masses about me or not, fellas. I have never made my bed unless I knew, like, someone was coming over and would see my bed. I've never done it one time in my life. My wife, annoyed by this, makes the bed every day. I've never one time in my life, unless I had to because someone was going to be seeing the bed, made it for myself. I thought it was a completely useless task. To this day, I'm 31 years old. Are we okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was my feeling my entire life. And no joke, to this day, if I have like a 5 a.m. flight and I'm going to bed at 1, I'm not sleeping under the covers. I've got the other blanket I put on top, and this way I fold that, and I'm good to go in the morning.
I do it now, like, half-heartedly, just because my wife expects it. You know what I mean? Like there are certain things that you just – I basically live in this don't rock the boat mentality, where there are things that if she never existed, I'm just by myself like a fat slob. I would never do any of these things, but I do them to avoid any kind of upset feelings or whatever. I just do the bare minimum necessary to avoid any kind of consternation. So I do it because I'm told to, but I'm with you. It is a futile, stupid exercise that everybody's convinced themselves you're supposed to do. People do it because they're supposed to. No one knows why. You were just made to, so you just kind of get in the habit of doing it. Your logic of, I'm going to get in this very area in 12 hours. Why am I making it up all fancy? It's futile, and it's not irresponsible. It's silly.
Justin Kutcher is with us on Grant and Danny. It's a task as a grown adult male that I think very few of us do, and those of us who do it, to Danny's point, are doing it basically out of obligation. I want to know, though, Justin, I watched the simulation last night for the Caps on NBC Sports Washington. When I first heard about it, as a guy who loves sports and loves video games, I'm like, okay, I'll check this out. I don't know how I feel about this, but it'll be interesting. I loved it. I thought the production was awesome. Having Joe Bianlocker involved was great. Are you guys doing anything similar like that Wizards-wise as we move forward, or where you'll have to call? I mean, how does that work? And just give us an idea of how you're staying busy right now.
As far as the NBA 2K stuff for the Wizards, I think there could be a possibility. As of right now, I'm not doing much with it. I think Chris Miller's doing some with it. But there could be an opportunity where we get involved. As far as how I'm staying busy, I figured out that my carpet in my bedroom has a little bit of a break from right to left as I've been putting. I was wondering if I vacuum the carpet a different direction, would that alter the break? I've watched TV shows I have never watched before. I've never been a binge watcher. I'm beginning to binge watch TV shows, and I'm actually cooking a lot. I love to cook. I never get the chance to because of my seasons, and I've been doing it. And it's
to eat because you have like a size 28 waist. Also.
Right, you eat nothing but like a thimbleful of lentils and walk away, and you call it cooking.
Can you buy jeans at a store, or do you have to order them like in a special place?
You know, I offered to go on a wing eating contest with you.
It's true. We're going to do it.
You refused.
No, it was a busy time of the year, and then now we're not allowed to leave our houses. But it is going to happen. I promise. It will go down. I don't believe that you actually eat wings. What have you made, though? What would impress us that, like, the last thing you cooked that you would have felt comfortable offering us because it's delicious enough to get high marks, what would it have been?
Oh, without a doubt what I made last night. It was basically an ahi tuna poke bowl. The tuna was marinated in a sesame soy sauce with green onions, cilantro, and garlic over a cilantro lime coconut rice. It was honestly phenomenal. Like, when I ate it, I was like, oh, heck yeah.
Justin Andreas over here, Danny. You didn't know he had that in the club in the bag.
He probably had like three or four bites and had to like, you know, go take a nap on top of his covers.
Well, actually, Danny, you know what? That's a very good point. Napping very rarely is under the covers.
Why would it be?
Napping is right because I don't want to mess up what I did earlier.
Exactly right.
So when I sleep, when I take a nap in my bed, it is on top of the covers with the other blanket. It's much easier to clean up. But no, that was not. There was no nap needed. Although I will tell you this, I made a breakfast 2 days ago that is one of my go-tos. It's a salami with sauteed onions, mushrooms, sauerkraut, and spicy brown mustard. And it was delicious. I was inspired by a great restaurant in New York City called Friedman's. They do it with pastrami, and they don't add everything I add, but I've taken the freedom of changing it up and calling it audible, and I love it. And I top it off with some cilantro. I'm a huge cilantro guy.
Chef Justin, Danny.
That is
this itself could be something that we tackle again, depending on how long we are sitting in our homes broadcasting from my basement and Danny's laundry room. We might have you back on to talk about recipes. Justin, well done, sir. Thank you for making your bed live on the radio.
Good work, buddy.
And we will chat with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See you,
yeah,
pal.
Justin Kutcher. Watch him, NBC Sports Washington, when the Wizards are back in action. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan next. What's Major League Baseball going to do with its schedule when the season starts? We'll tell you next. Basketball was the first sport to shut down. Hockey soon followed. Before long, Major League Baseball spring training games had come to a close. We're wondering now, when will sports reconvene? Well, Major League Baseball might have to get creative with their season because at this point, opening day was scheduled for tomorrow. It's obviously not happening, and they won't play in April, and presumably they're not going to play in May. There's some hope, Danny, of June 1st. I know you're skeptical of that, but the thought is that there will still be some semblance of a season, a few months of night-in, night-out baseball, even if abbreviated, where we will get what appears to be half a season or so of real Major League Baseball. I'd say that's optimistic, that's bullish, but that is right now what Major League Baseball is at least planning and hoping for while they don't really have a whole lot of answers.
Yeah, that's the sound of it, right? Where if you get, you know, you've got the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right? You've got the dire estimates, you've got the bullish ones, and, you know, maybe somewhere on that sliding scale is what ends up happening. And, you know, I kind of am on the record here thinking that it's probably overly optimistic, but no reason for Major League Baseball not to plan accordingly and then make adjustments as they go, right? So if you're planning on, you know, say an 80-game schedule or a 100-game schedule, or maybe down to a 50-game schedule, if you got to push it back further because you need some time to ramp up again, especially for pitchers in their arms, as we kind of talked about yesterday, then you've got to do some things that are out of the box. You heard Jesse Dougherty on the Beltway Blitz mention this, where you just might have a team that doesn't leave the coast. Right, if you got an East Coast team, maybe they don't play the AL West this year. Right, if you've got a West Coast team, maybe they just don't do the NL West doesn't play the AL East or something like that. You know, maybe you just have to forego some of those things. You lower the number of divisional games that you play from 19 down to say 11, then the whole thing is kind of a sprint to the finish. Whatever the math is, and a lot of smart people have to kind of get together and work that out. But yeah, no reason for them to not sort of deal with it on the ground. Right, as it is right now, and prepare in case for that best case scenario as well as the worst.
So Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic had to have the same conversation, you know, we're having now and we've had over the last few days, and tackle this idea of what baseball could do. So he made a bunch of calls to executives all around the sport, high-ranking team president types, GMs, and folks that will be heavily involved in helping plan whatever comes of whatever baseball season we get. And here are some of the things that he said could happen. Basically, his idea is to use this season, whatever it becomes, as a testing ground, almost like they have the minor leagues, not for in-game rule changes per se, but for things that they couldn't do because nobody would have accepted them or wanted them in a regular 162-game season that now maybe they could. So here are some of the ideas that he came up with in his story in The Athletic. He said, what about starting the season with the All-Star game? He says, if you want to capture people's attention, you can't beat this idea. You follow the blueprint of 1981 after a strike, when you actually kick off the season after spring training by having all the All-Stars get together for a game. In 1981, they did that, and then they immediately reported for games the next night after the All-Star game with no day off in between. I could see that if, let's say, you're able to play baseball in July, that you kick things off at Chavez Ravine in Los Angeles, so you don't lose the All-Star game, which is such a marquee major event on the sports calendar. I didn't realize this, but it's also a massive portion of the TV contract right up there with the World Series that the network cares so much about. So basically, you don't want to, quote-unquote, can't lose the All-Star game. So you start with the All-Star game whenever you get it going as a kind of celebration of baseball. Now, obviously, you're not voting on All-Stars based on that year's play, but you get all the big names in the sport together.
Yeah.
We're back. Baseball is returning. You have this awesome event. You do a home run derby or what have you, and then they all go their separate ways and start the next night. I kind of like that idea.
I love that idea. Now, what will inevitably happen is a couple teams will whine and say, well, our opening day starter can't start an opening day now. You know, like if Jacob deGrom goes for the Mets, like, but he was supposed to start the next night for us. Tough. Incredible circumstances here. This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, right? Let's all pitch in to sacrifice for the team, a.k.a. the good of the sport and the eyes of the nation. I love that idea. Love it.
Another one is a lot of doubleheaders could be coming down the pike. We've said for years, not you and I, but the industry, hey, we need to play more doubleheaders and have more days off. You know, while everyone's at the ballpark, let's go back-to-back, single admission, you know, play games, whether it's at 5 and right after or 6 and right after, whatever you want to do, and let's give players more days off. It's better on their bodies. Well, that's never really passed. It's never been something the league and the Players Association have been able to come to an agreement on. They may not have a choice this time around. If you're trying to condense as many games as possible into a few months, a way that you can play more games to make the results more legitimate, because all these executives in this story with Rosenthal and The Athletic are saying, what's great about our game is the more games we play, you don't have flukes. You don't have teams that shouldn't make the playoffs get in. You know, if you just as an example, played 60 or 80 games or whatever last year, the Nats were like the 10th team in the National League. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. You end up winning the World Series because of the marathon and getting your act together over that time that you're not going to have. But the more games you do play, the more credible, theoretically, the seeding, the results when the playoffs start. And that's where you get the doubleheaders. And in those doubleheaders, Rosenthal suggesting the idea has been talked about in baseball, that you play a lot of doubleheaders, and like they do in the minor leagues, 7 innings at a time. So on those days, you're not playing 18 innings. You're actually playing 14 innings to help with pitching, to keep guys fresher, to keep players healthy. Again, people aren't going to like a lot of these things if you did it for 6 months in a normal year. There's nothing normal about this. So I would even be okay with 2 7-inning doubleheaders more often than just one game, so that you actually play more games in, say, 3 months of baseball.
100%. Again, unique circumstances. So I don't want that normally, right? That's a, you know, high school, because you can't play with, because there are no lights. I mean, kind of rule where you do 7 innings. Big leaguers should have to deal with 9 innings, you know, both ends. And if it hurts your pitching, that's part of being a Major League Baseball team. You got to make moves accordingly. This is an extraordinary circumstance. I'm all in favor of that. Find a way to get as many games in as possible, and that's one of them.
To cut down on extra innings and games that just go deep into the night that could hinder you in these stretches with fewer days off, the suggestion would be to use the minor league rules of starting every
runner
inning with
second,
a player
yeah.
in second, which I think is a no-brainer for this season whenever
this
it
year.
Starts. Reimagining the postseason also. If you're going to have fewer games, and there's going to be this situation where, let's say in 75 games or 60 games, you're trying to determine who makes the playoffs, you probably should have a bigger playoff field. So the suggestion from Rosenthal here in The Athletic is that you might have as many as 10 or 12 playoff teams. Normally, I don't like that. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. But I think even if you go to 14 or something and you have 7 per league, I'm cool with that, because that's the quality of the game now that we're all looking for in the playoffs, at a time where hopefully by the time you get there, maybe people can go to the games.
And give me some best of threes.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with it, because, again, you're talking about that big test of 162. We don't have that, so let's get more teams in the tourney. I love it.
And here's the last one, a tournament that they could possibly set up. It says, let's all recognize this reality. There's going to come a time when and if baseball isn't ready to resume until, say, the middle of August or even September. It could make no sense to try to play a quote-unquote season, but it would be a disaster not to play at all. Here's a quote from an exec. It's important to just for the industry that we do something. You don't want a situation where the NBA's got games going on, the NHL is back, the NFL and college football are ramping up, and we're doing nothing. I think we're in danger of not playing at all, potentially. So what they could do is have like a NCAA bracket-style tournament with all the teams, where the last team standing is your World Series champion, or whatever they end up calling it in 2020.
Wow.
Thoughts?
It's different, but, man, would that be fun? I mean, maybe that's what you do here, is you maximize fun.
I think it's going to be determined by when the games start again and when the sport comes back.
Yeah.
If they've got enough time, you probably just pick up the season with wherever it would have started with the schedule, and you go till the end. If you're much more condensed, you probably have to get more creative. What would you guys suggest? What of those ideas in that piece from The Athletic do you like and do you not like? That's the question for you at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We are with you until 2 o'clock. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic says that when Major League Baseball returns, assuming it returns this season, the sport should get as creative as possible and experiment as much as possible in whatever faction of a schedule is put together over a couple of months to see what works and what doesn't, and to entertain baseball fans as much as it can. The question we've got for you at 800-636-1067 is, which of these ideas do you like work for you, which don't? Starting the season with the All-Star game, whenever the season begins. That'd be great if it's right on time in mid-July, but if you have to move things around, that's okay too. More doubleheaders, including when you play doubleheaders, only playing 7 innings at a time like they do in the minor leagues. Speaking of the minor leagues, when you're tied after 9 innings, you go to extra innings. In the minors, you start every inning with a runner on second to play fewer extra inning games to break ties more easily. He's saying that should be done in Major League Baseball. And these aren't just his opinions. These are things he got from talking to a bunch of executives. He wants to reimagine the postseason, saying that the field should be extended, that there should be more teams that get in if there are fewer regular season games played, which I think is reasonable. You give teams like the Nats, who are hard charging at the end of the year, more of a chance to catch fire into the playoffs. And then there's even talk about this tournament. If they don't have enough time for a full season, kind of like the NCAA bracket. And I think that's what Chris wants to talk about in Hyattsville. Chris, thanks for the call, buddy. Thanks for sticking with us and listening day in and day out during the pandemic. Much appreciate you joining us. You like the idea of this tournament, it sounds like?
Well, I just think it's going to be unfair to have to declare who gets into the playoffs with the same, the current playoff structure. And if you only play 80 games, there will be so many teams near that, you know, last eight seed spot or the wild card spot. I think what would be better is you play as many games as you can, then you seed all of the teams based off of win loss, right? And then I don't know how to, I'm trying to do the tournament structure right now and I'm not smart enough, but anyway, through a combination of like some teams being off the first round or having a bye, you have a NCAA bracket style tournament to determine the champion for the end of the season. And it's a month long or 4 to 6 weeks of playoffs.
It's the most fun option. Yeah. Grant, it's the most fun option of all the ones that are available. Now, does that mean it's the most, you know, has the most integrity? It's the most fair. It's the most judicious. Probably not, but again, we're talking extraordinary times and measures here. So that would certainly make sense to me if you want to do something where you go, we got a chance to capture the sports audience. There's no Summer Olympics. We're not really competing with anything else. Maybe you will. Just depends on what some of the other sports are doing to finish up their seasons. But as you kind of kick off and go, how much fun would that be if you did a 1 through 30, or maybe, you know, you went through 28. It just depends on how the numbers work out. But that's maximum fun, I would say.
So I would love that, and I agree it's max fun in terms of if you have 1 month or 6 weeks or 7 weeks to play with. I would still prefer if you have 3 months or something like that,
sure,
to basically have a much more traditional season leading to a expanded playoff field and no tournament. I ask you this, Chris. If you have, let's just say you can come back in, I'll say early July, and you can go July, August, September, and then kick off the playoffs. And I want to get into what that might mean thereafter. Would you rather do that or just do your tournament for 6 or 7 weeks?
I'd like to do the tournament style because no matter what happens this year, baseball historians will throw it out and say it doesn't count, and whoever wins will get an asterisk.
Right.
But if you go through 4 or 5 rounds of a tournament, where I'm not talking about single game tournament, I'm talking about like a series,
yeah,
like
the
college world. Right. If you're the last team standing, you deserve to be a champion and just as respectable as any other champion, in my opinion.
Appreciate the call, buddy.
It's a gauntlet,
here's one
right?
thing about
through.
The, and I think it's a cool idea. Here's one thing about the idea that I like best, which is the abbreviated season that makes this really difficult. So and I'm just spitballing here, thinking about this for the first time, but basically, let's say, give me a date when they would start. Doesn't matter when.
July 20th.
All right. They start on July 20th. And let's say you determine that you need to play 3 months to make this work. And over 90 days, essentially, you play 85 games with doubleheaders built in or something like that.
Oh,
okay?
Man. Yeah, wow.
So it's like almost a half season. I don't know how realistic that is. Maybe let's say it's 75 or 80 games.
Yeah.
Okay, and you start on July 20th, you go to August 20th, September 20th, and then you finish like October 20th. Now, playing baseball in October is hard enough as it is, and we do that in the elements in the playoffs. What they would have to do in this situation is, and what they're talking about doing, is playing playoff games in neutral sites, in domed stadiums in November,
right,
potentially even December, in Miami. You know, in warm weather environments like L.A. or Anaheim, neutral sites, so like the Brewers-Cubs, as an example, playoff series might take place in Miami at Marlins Park. The problem with that and the blowback they're getting on that idea is we already see games not selling out in the playoffs when your home team can come. Like the Nats had a playoff game in the division series against the Dodgers that didn't sell out. The Dodgers, I think, and other teams had playoff series this year. I know there were several of them across the sport that didn't sell out. And that's when you're playing in front of your diehard fans, your tens of thousands. Look at all the people that went to the parade that cared about the Nats winning the championship. So to have the Nats play, let's say, the Cardinals in Milwaukee with the roof closed or something like that, A, you're getting like a more corporate kind of Super Bowl-y type environment, which I'd be fine with. But B, are you sure you can get more than 18,000 people to go to those games? That would be a really bad look for baseball if your NLCS game is in front of 14,000 fans.
And that's even non-virus division. That's just regular life division, right?
Correct.
Let's forget there's no pandemic. And now you're trying to get people to, you know, to show up to, as you said, a Cubs-Dodgers divisional round game in Miami. Good luck with that. Then you add in whatever Paul is, and that's assuming that everything is gone and swept from memory, that you know, coronavirus is just now a punchline. Then there's a documentary film. There's a 30 for 30 about coronavirus and its short-lived rise to fame. Add in all these different factors, you might have to throw optics out just in terms of getting the logistics of a season done for this one. Your point, I think, is very well seen about, you know, some of the logistics and how it might not be that good of a look. But there's also some built-in excuses, right? I mean, this is crazy what we're going to have to do and deal with just to get ourselves a Major League Baseball season. That's even best case.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the optics is something I normally consider, and maybe what about
anything
that's happening right now is optics driven.
Right.
And maybe everything just becomes, well, it doesn't matter if this is good. What is the best thing for us right now? And if that means playing into November and maybe even having your World Series or championship round of your tournament or whatever in December and neutral site and domed host sites for those games, then so be it. Yeah, that's probably what you've got to do. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The latest on Trent Williams' demands and what could come down the pike for Williams. There's a couple of potential suitors we have heard linked to him today. We'll pass those teams along next before we get out of here on G&D. Grant and Danny, final few minutes. 106.7 The Fan. If you are participating in the G&D Movie Club, our film tonight is Bright. You can watch it. It is streaming right now on Netflix. Came out in 2017, starring Will Smith. Could be a lot to deal with after having looked at the cover of the movie. There's like a guy with a blue face who looks like he's not a human. So I'm probably in for a long couple of hours. But
you know
I did
what I
like
just realized?
Last night's offering.
You know what I just realized? I thought we were watching Bright Burn. That's the superhero movie that I was thinking of. It's a superhero movie turned horror movie. This is different. This, you're going to hate this. I have seen this movie. You're going to despise this thing.
Yeah,
this,
I'm pretty this
will
sure
be your
that.
Least favorite.
Yeah, I should have said no to it. I just thought when I, you know, originally did it, we had like eight movies. I was like,
I'm an idiot.
That one.
I was thinking of Brightburn. This is my fault. I had a chance to nix it, and we could have been watching Mark Wahlberg here, you guys, just trying to, you know, I'm Spencer. I'm trying to keep this whole thing confidential. I screwed the pooch on this one.
How about we all agree to watch Spencer Confidential right now?
No. You've already agreed to watch Bright. I am so happy this turned out this way. Oh, my God. I couldn't be happier.
He's going to hate it. Grant's going to hate this
You're
so much.
You're both going to hate it so much.
No, I'm
Here's
watching.
What happened.
It's fine.
I like Will Smith a lot, and I like Joel Edgerton. So I just Googled when he said Bright. I Googled it, and it popped up that those are the stars. And I said, oh, how have I missed this movie? I looked at the picture like 3 minutes ago during the break. And it looks like some like Blue Man Group weirdo alien is hanging out with Will Smith.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, it's basically like if all the characters from like a Tolkien or like a World of Warcraft or whatever, just imagine them standard issue among us on Earth. So like the initial shock of seeing an ogre or an orc, you don't have that. Like they're just here and they're part of it. Like so orcs have corporate jobs. Orcs have, you know, like everything from they're in the service industry to their, you know, political appointees. They're just here, and there's different species and stuff, and you're just supposed to just sort of deal with that alternate universe. And again, the amount that you're going to hate this movie, I thought it was, you know, but it killed 90 minutes for me, whatever long it is once. It's perfectly mediocre. It's very dour. But Grant, you're going to despise this thing, and I'm actually very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm not. And I'm hoping that we can get back to watching good movies again soon. Tom, you put the list together tomorrow, so bring your A game, please. But, yeah, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to gut through this. I watched Star Wars. I've stuck to the script here. I've watched every movie. So I'm going to do everything I can to get
you
through.
You sacrificed a lot.
By the way, I'm a little bit sized, to steal a term from the junkies.
Sure.
I just got an email. The XFL shop is 30% off today. So it might be time for me to make a couple purchases on some DC Defenders hats and shirts.
With all due respect to that league, it's going to have to drop a little bit more for me to be intrigued into making some purchases.
You wouldn't buy stuff if it was 85% off.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't. I'm not really buying much team gear as it is these days as a 40-year-old father.
I think I want a Defenders hat. They're good-looking hats.
They're sharp hats. But I guess ultimately what I would say is this, you know, well, who knows? I mean, hopefully you get more XFL if you're an XFL fan, but this was a tough stall for them, right? I mean, you'd
well,
assume
yeah,
they're coming
a tough
back
stall
now,
for
right?
hockey too and basketball
yeah.
too.
But for a startup league, right?
I don't know. Are you saying they're not going to be back? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not at all. I'm saying for Major League Baseball and for established Big Four, this is a speed bump. This is tough. Whatever, they'll deal with it. for a league that's trying to get its foothold and was only in eight cities and, you know, a few of which their teams were disasters. I don't know. I mean, it was fledgling. It was on its way up. You'd assume they'd come back given the Vince McMahon presence here.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they didn't. I don't know. I mean, they're busy telling everyone who will listen they're going to have a league. It'll be stronger in year two than year one. And the product was good. They put a lot of butts in seats. I can't imagine after drawing 30-plus in Seattle and 30-plus in St. Louis and nearly 20 a couple times in D.C. that it goes away. But, yeah, I have no idea. Like everyone else, I'm kind of in wait-and-see mode. But for what it's worth, just to kind of push along what we've heard in the facts, the XFL is very much publicly stating that they will be back. So I might get myself on my hands on some Defenders gear. All right, real quick on Trent Williams. Here are the teams. The Chargers were really interested before they spent in free agency. I have not heard them linked again to him since yesterday in the morning when his agent came out and demanded a trade. The Cleveland Browns are sniffing around hardcore. I'd say if there's a favorite right now, that's probably the Browns. Mm-hmm. I went on radio, as I told you, this morning in Cleveland, and they were asking things like, how many years does Trent Williams have left, do you think? Is he worth $15 to $20 million? You know, what kind of player is he at this point? I mean, they are preparing for the possibility that they trade for him. Another team that would make sense, and I'll give Hogs Haven credit here because I saw them tweet this, is the Tampa Bay Bucks after going and getting Tom Brady. They have a left tackle who they pay about $14 million. They have no right tackle. You could move that left tackle, who's not very good, to right tackle, bring in Trent Williams, pay him with no state tax in Florida, maybe a little less than other teams might be able to, and then flip a mid-round pick like a third and Cameron Brate to the Redskins, to which I would absolutely do that if I'm Washington. And if you're the Bucks, I don't know why you wouldn't help protect Tom Brady with all the weapons you've got on offense. Something to maybe keep an eye on.
It's true. It's something to Christian ponder, certainly. I mean, I think their left tackle is Donovan Smith, if memory serves. And I also think he's not very good.
Mentioned that. Yeah, Donovan Smith is their left tackle. You move him to right tackle.
Yeah, so anecdotally, I remember him not being that good. It certainly makes sense on paper. Again, I think Tampa Bay, though, might look around. And maybe, you get a little bit more energized to do something because you brought in Tom Brady and you're very much win now. Maybe you go, if you're Tampa, though, we don't really have to pay that freight. Right, because these contract demands, maybe we can wait for the asking price. But if you want to hop on it, do the eBay bid, you know, buy it now or reserve bid to get the price or to get the player that you want, it might make sense.
So tonight, make sure you watch Bright or don't if you don't want to watch a weird movie. Probably not our best choice to this point, but hey, I'm not going to judge a book by a cover. That's exactly what I'm doing.
You are definitely doing that. In fact,
by the way, Dar just tweeted me a video of Will Smith looking at this creature in the car. I'm probably not going to watch this movie, but we'll see what happens.
You got to do it.
And it's part of the game, I guess, right? The movie club. Grant and Danny, thanking you for listening. Thanks to Dar and Sami in studio back in D.C. We will chat with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.